Agenda, Friday, September 20th. City Community Dialogue, Sensitive Training for Police Officers.
You have before you three pieces of paper, or four, three. In addition to the agenda, should have the minutes from August 2nd and the minutes from September 6th. The reason you have the August 2nd minutes, because that time the professionals were out ill, and we didn't get it, and then the machine broke down, so we are now getting caught up with the minutes of August 2nd. The other is the September 6th meeting, a minute that we will be reading now for 5 minutes, not more. The August 2nd minutes you may keep, of course, to read the back happening. So look at the minutes of September 6th and get reactions on them in 5 minutes at the most. Any clarification or any additions that you might have read? Corrections.
The copy on this is Gary, too.
Carol?
Yes.
I have a question. I don't think that it was stressed enough in this education one that the majority of the big problem in the Mexican-American community was the Mexican-American child that has been here for several generations, and the one that the immigrant child is certainly a problem we have to take care of, but the Mexican-American child that's been psychologically damaged, that has no language problem, but just a psychological problem. And I think I made a strong statement on that the last time, and it isn't in here very strong.
You're looking at the August 2nd minute.
Right.
Any particular page where that particular concept is being discussed?
Yes, let's see, I have
page 3?
Page 12.
It's page 12.
It's page 6, number 12.
Would we turn to page 6 and the August 2nd minutes for a moment, please? Number 12, there's a sharp...
Why couldn't you...
12 on the left side or right side? Is there a category between EMR?
Yeah, my statement came right after that, I believe, which I wanted the Mexican American damage
this
child.
Timing is very poor. Well, nobody can do it unless we can.
And you were saying the minute should reflect this part of the recorded synopsis should indicate stronger what is on the tape.
Yeah.
Getting them back was a very poor move.
I don't know whether we can do much about that except make a note of it. We take note of it.
Anyway.
And also, Dr. McJohnson's request for me isn't in there, which I thought was quite important.
Which request?
You wanted me to ask you certain questions about ideal programs, Dr. McJohnson.
Oh, when they return yet?
Yeah. No. And I asked something about that. If you had all the money you wanted, what would you do?
Oh. I forgot to answer that.
I would like to hear your answer.
Well, you haven't returned yet for that, have you, Mac? The school district hasn't been put on the agenda again yet.
I don't have an answer now.
Oh.
They gave you the money?
Any other...
Yes. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to correct the, at least add to the minutes on page 10 of September the 6th.
10? Under, page 10?
Right, page 10. Under 7... in the formation of the committee to look into police review boards, I believe that it, as you recall, I asked to be included, or at least the police department to be included in the conduct committee. It is not only not indicated on this minutes, but in fact the police department was not included on the committee. The police department was not even advised that the committee was going to meet. I frankly think that the motives of this committee are somewhat open to question if this is the procedure that's going to be used.
I remember the. I remember what he said is that that's the way it was. He's telling it like it is.
Yeah, that was supposed to be. Someone from the police department.
Yeah, that was the question that I raised. Remember that meeting that where we would include someone in the police department?
And at the end of it, it was agreed it should be.
Right.
But I don't think you should question the motives if you remember how that came up, Don.
Well, the motives to me are reflected in the fact that we were not invited to attend a meeting.
There is no one on the police department in that committee. Yeah, they had a meeting this week.
And he was the only
one. We were.
He wasn't invited to the meeting.
I'm sorry, Mike. No one from the police department was even advised there was going to be a meeting.
The only thing
this is what I heard in the meeting, that you were invited to go there. So
well,
that's what I heard, too, but he tells me that's not the case. He was not invited to the meeting, and I'm puzzled why he wasn't.
Right. That's not the case.
When is your next meeting, Jim?
We haven't said the next meeting.
Well, would you simply make it simple and let Don know?
Right. Yes, I was under the impression that he knew.
Right.
But it was just after. And Father, the results, I mean, the results of the meeting was also stated to the police department by one of the members that was at the meeting.
Well, that's not the same as being there, though.
We understand that, but I have no knowledge of who
the results might have been different.
Would you make a note on your list of members?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don would be there?
Yeah.
Don, is that taken care of it?
Yes, Carol.
All right.
What did you do
there? Any other comments, suggestions on the minute? Corrections? If not, shall we turn to the agenda? We have reduced the agenda at last to one item, and maybe now we can get through this when it's been here for, I don't know, 6 months, a year, whatever it was, perhaps in the last 6 months. Before we do, however,
150 years, what did you say?
150 years? Before we do, we have a report from your committee?
Yes.
May we have that report, please? That was supposed to have been on the agenda.
Secretary, we had his absence, so I guess I'll have to read the report. The ad hoc committee of the City Community Dialogue met Monday, September 16, 1968, 11:30 a.m. at the office of the Citizen Interracial Committee to discuss the problems of formulating a plan to establish a board to hear complaints of citizens against police departments. Members present, Jay Jackson, Don Logan, Ed Butler, Anderson Berry III, Joe, was it Mazer?
Mays,
Mike Amador, John Billings, Carol Wayman, Glenn Copeland, James Don Keller, Frank Sy, and absent members were Leon Williams, Judge Lindsay, and Lieutenant Davis. Carol Wayman opened the discussion by reading the charge from the minutes of the previous dialogue meeting. He also made available to the committee copies of the CIC's report on the San Diego Police Department processing of complaints against police officers, and the President's report on the National Advisory Commission on Civil Disorders, calling special attention to page 308 to 311 of this report. The meeting was then turned over to the chairman, who led an informal discussion around the subject. A definition of police review board was requested, and members were referred to the last meeting, at which time a definition was established. It was stated, however, that a police review board should be an impartial body composed of citizens of the community who are willing to devote time to consider complaints against the police department, to evaluate these complaints. Now, we have something else in a minute, but a period behind that for those that have the minutes. I think we need to extract to determine whether appropriate action can be taken or whether appropriate action was taken. The next sentence will start, to make recommendations to the police department and the city manager's office, and to have also as a potential instrument the press for making known remedial action that appears to be necessary. The board should also commend positive actions when appropriate. A call for samples of review boards of other cities was made, and the Philadelphia board report was produced for examination. It was the opinion of several members that the Community Relations Division could not do the job of a citizens review board. Recent incidents of citizens' involvement with the police some of fear of harassment, feeling of a kangaroo court, and the fact that the police department would be sitting in judgment of their own acts. Citizens need some sympathetic redress, somebody that they can identify with. There appears to be poor communication between the community and the police department. There was a great deal of discussion on how to draw plans for the board. There may be difficulty in developing a plan which would be acceptable to both the community and the police department. It is questionable that the city council or city manager's office would accept such a board. Possibly the name review board, police review board, is too objectionable. It is important to get the support of these officers. The pros and cons of having a few sample cases presented before this ad hoc committee was discussed. It was agreed that we would have the actual persons involved come before the committee and present their cases. If this cannot be done, then the committee may try role playing. A dry run is planned in the near future to make an evaluation before presenting the plan to the city council. Don Keller said he was not hesitant to present the plan to the council if this committee sees the creation of such a board as desirable after discussion and research. Mr. Keller will make contact with the police department to get their cooperation in presenting some cases before the ad hoc committee. He feels that they will be cooperative. Ed Butler will work on the procedure. Mike Amador and Frank Day will bring in citizens who have been involved with the police for the presentation to the ad hoc committee. The meeting adjourned, and we'll convene at 9:15, the 20th, to hear the results of Mr. Keller's conversation with the police department, and the report is negative. The police department feels that they cannot cooperate in this matter, bringing in the police officer for the hearing, but they will cooperate in other matters that we would desire from the department dealing with the cases that that have been presented. Mr. Chairman, this is our progress report. We have not set another meeting yet for this action, and it is before the group for their discussion of questions that may arise in some mind.
Questions, comments?
Chairman Austin, did you read Councilman Sam Lofton's name as the person?
No.
He's supposed to be on it.
It was decided that the councilman, although it was stated that he would be in an advisory capacity, but this matter would have to come before the council, we thought, for its approval, and so we did not impress upon him the necessity of his presence at the meeting. But we plan to use him in an advisory capacity in formulating the whatever is to be formulated, and I think this will be handled by the attorney, city attorney, and the prosecutor attorney.
Comments, you ask? Yeah. Questions?
Yes. Did the police department give a clear, concise reason why they wouldn't participate in this?
No. Well, it's clear and precise, whatever it is, that they would cooperate as best they could under the conditions that it was stated to them. What we asked was that the department would supply, along with the complainant, the police officer who was in question. And they felt that it, I presume, that it would be, that it wouldn't be necessary in a, with an unauthorized group. I'm assuming this, I don't know what they had in mind, but I'm assuming that an unauthorized group, it wouldn't be necessary for them to dissipate any energies unnecessarily, I would gather.
Reverend, I said it still really isn't clear under what conditions they might participate in this kind of a situation. Suppose, for example, you could set up a blue ribbon group that is acceptable both to the committee and to the police department, so that there'd be no feeling that this was a biased group with a predetermined judgment being made. If you presented in this way, would it make any difference in their response?
Well, this would be the second step. Yes, I feel it would be. I think what you're saying is if this is a bona fide group with portfolio, then what would happen? Well, if it was, then it would be, they would have to, because they have agreed to do it. But this is a, we're in the formative stage of this, and we're trying to sell the idea to the city and to the police department that we feel this is a thing that should be in existence. Now, I may go a step farther in this, that I'm hoping that the police department and the city officials who are responsible for making this a bona fide body will understand that we have it's not in the minds of the people to have a watchdog thing or a kangaroo court, as some stated at one time, on the police department. But we feel that the citizens of the city, they need some group for citizens' redress. The only thing that we have, the only system, I mean, the system that we're working under now, is that it, the citizen is handicapped, because the police officer that is charged with harassment or brutality, the complainant will have to make the complaint to that officer, not the officer in particular, but to that department.
Well, Magon, I understand the function of the police review board, at least I think I do. But I think that what your committee was proposing is that because of the anxiety or the fear the police department might have about such a board, that they would not want to engage in a trial run. And it occurs to me that one reason they might not want to do this is if they're going to have to appear before a group that's already pretty much made up its mind about a police review board, then they feel it's kind of stacked against them. But suppose you could create a group of distinguished citizens, you know, people from both minority and majority communities that would engage in this process just to see what would happen if we tried it out. Would that make a difference in the way the police department felt? Could you approach it on that basis?
Then we would have to go back to the police department with some new information, and I
Mr. Keller here. Where?
Yeah. I think he's understanding what you're saying. I don't know what his exact approach was, because it was a one-man committee that went to the police department, and but this is a possibility. Don, do you have any reaction to that?
Mr. Chairman, I can't answer the hypothetical question that Cass, I just don't know what the answer is. That wasn't approached. As far as one man committee, Mr. Butler was on the committee also, and he was present, and Lieutenant Davis and the Chief of Police at this meeting. And I believe that I approached it in accordance with the instructions given by the committee. Would you have a complainant appear before that on our committee and a police officer appear? And that's the way I approached it. My understanding is what was desired of the committee, and that was the only approach. As far as any alternatives, there were alternatives. That was one which I think probably Lieutenant Davis would be better able to take than I, but I can't answer any other probability or possibility. This was the answer to the one that I did.
Yes, these might come to the subsequent meeting. Lieutenant, do you have any?
I might say this, that what we're discussing now is probably a good reason for someone having let us know about this meeting, and maybe we could have talked about this at the time. Mr. Keller has indicated that the chief was asked if we would participate in this particular thing, and it was the chief's statement that we would not. I've asked to participate in this committee. I don't think anybody can deny that that is at least a show of good faith on our part that we are willing to sit down and talk about these things.
Irrelevant, Mr. Right.
I think that also that what you are asking is an impossible question to answer at this time, because you're just talking something that it has no specifics whatsoever.
I think a committee could come up with specifics. For example, I could conceive of the president of the Bar Association being a member of a committee like this. I could think of the chairman of the Urban Coalition. I could think of some people who would be of unimpeachable integrity, you know, chosen by the minority community to just try this thing out. So that the everybody speculates about what's going to happen, but no one really knows. And my thought is that if you could go through this kind of a mock-up, just like they test planes or anything else, maybe we'd have more information that could be presented to the citizens of San Diego and the city council and the members of this committee and the police department. All I'm saying is try it out, but set up the conditions so that it would be a pretty close to a replica of what might happen in where they have such boards.
I might, if I may, Mr. Chairman, indicate this, that at the last dialogue I attempted to ask for this committee to look into the police review board itself, and it was indicated that it was not the desire of the chairman that we look in, that this committee look into police review boards, but to look into the type that we were going to have, and I don't think that this is the proper thing. I didn't at that time. I think what you're saying is just, again,
some theoretical thing, and unless we have a specific thing, there's no way in the world to tell what our reaction would be to it.
We have a specific experience to react to if we try it.
Jack, we had a specific here. We had a specific, which was the committee.
Louder, please, that's it.
We had a specific, at this time, a specific proposal. I understand what Jack is saying, but I don't see where changing the composition would accomplish anything. On this committee, there is to be the judge, district attorney, and the city attorney. Now, maybe none of these people are president of the Bar Association, but nevertheless, this was a specific proposal, which was rejected. So, it's not hypothetical. It is a specific proposal. It was not accepted.
I think, essentially, the dialogue has been going through. Kenneth Davis has just completely tried to say everything that has to be specific. I think this just shows or illustrates the amount of negativeness that exists in the department. The committee was assigned to test the feasibility of this idea, Human Relations Board, whatever you want to call it. We felt to make it as authentic as we possibly could, we would have to have the participants to test this thing. Now, regardless if you were there, how influential you would have been, after this meeting in persuading Rose, who I don't think has ever been to one of these meetings, and when he's going to come, it's going to be probably something else, but to test the authenticity, the feasibility. Now, if the committee has been charged with this task, and we're constantly being met with this type of negativeness, then we're never going to get anything. So I think, really, we're really talking nonsense. You talk about composition, we're talking about testing the feasibility of a human relations board. And we've been blocked again by the decision of the police chief and not giving us the officers so that we could test this thing.
Chuck, you had a question?
Yeah, I want to release two things. For one, what Jack Cass said about distinguished citizens on the board. If you people look at it, it's the distinguished citizens who put us in this bag we're in now.
Right on. Yeah.
And for another thing, but as long as Lieutenant Davis is going to speak for Chief Rose, you're not going to get up any type of board unless he comes here itself. You're not going to get nothing done. They don't want a police review board, and they're not going to get one. That's why they keep sending the boards down here, as the judge said.
Wow.
So you talk.
I said that some other time. But, Mr. Chairman, go ahead, Jim. Yeah, well, on this report, now, I'm wondering, in this matter, we will never get any type of redress committee or board or whatever you call it, talking to people who are not in a party to bring it into being in the first place. I mean, we're dialoguing the possibility of it here. But now, under our system, I'm going to ask one or two questions. Why is it that we do not have a police commissioner in the city of San Diego, and is there some conflict with charter if the idea of police commissioner is established? Is it the charter conflict?
We're not a commission form of government, we don't have commissions. It's a city manager form of government.
Yes.
Two or distinct types of city government.
Yes. So when you have that type of thing, the city manager and the chief of police is responsible for doing it all, as far as the review board is concerned, with the approval of the city council. So if this be the case, then the only way this will have to come before the city council.
No, you added the word with the approval of the city council. That's not necessary under our form of government. The city council is expressly prohibited from interfering with the administrative service.
But who
is correct, except you don't have to say approved by the city council.
But I'm saying, but I add further, who is responsible for the city manager being in office?
City council.
The city council. So therefore, it has the city council approval. And the only way that you're going to get a change is you're going to have to start with the only people that are elected or the city councilman with of the three you mentioned. Yes, I mean, the people that are responsible for the city manager and the chief,
I'm with you.
They are the city council members.
Yeah, I understand that.
Now, these people are directly responsible to the community, to the people who elect them to office.
Okay,
now, I don't know whether we're going to have to go into this thing to start throwing political weight around. I understand what it is. It's a political football. I know what it is. But now, if we have to start at the ground and work up, then we're going to have to start somewhere, because I feel, and I'm not being critical, I haven't had any encounter with the police department, and I haven't had too many people talking to me talking about what they've been doing, other than all I heard was hearsay about it. But I know that there is something wrong in every major city in America with police and community relations. With the people who pay the bill, they're being harassed by the people they hire. Now, it's something wrong somewhere. All of these people are not hoodlums and niggers, as they call them, and dope addicts and thugs. Some of these people that are complaining to the police department are reputable citizens, if you want to use that term. Both black and white are being harassed. It's not only the black, it's the black and the white people. Now, I don't know where we're going to start. At least I know where to start. If it's political, then we're going to have to go into the politics of the thing and get some elected officials in that city council who's going to listen to the citizens. Now, and I'm prepared, and I have started a campaign to register every black man in San Diego that's not registered, and we're going to be heard one way or the other. Now, I understand that the only thing the power structure recognizes is its pocketbook and its politics, and we're going to start there with this thing. I have no intentions of being on this review board or this thing, but I think that we just need to do something to protect not only the citizens but the police department, because I'm tired of being in a city where every time you see a policeman, somebody's getting a rock or a bottle or going somewhere trying to find a pistol, or he's getting a stick or his pistol to draw on him. It's something wrong in this community, and it needs to be straightened out. And we've been here dialoguing the second year, called by the mayor, who, after he received what he wanted, assurance that it wouldn't be any riot in San Diego, then he disappeared. Now, we are not going to have any violence that's going to reflect on any of us in our community. But we're going to use the things that the people understand. And that's the ballot box. And we're going to get some people in this city council that can understand the problems of human relations, the problems of oppressed people, as well as those that are oppressing. And we're going to try to straighten this thing out, and we have to do it from the ground up. Now, we are committed to that task. Now, I'm not here just to be talking, because I have no hostility toward no one. I'm for the good of the community. Now, I don't see any reason why we can't, as citizens with three officials representing the city, four actually, with Lieutenant Davis, a lieutenant, a district attorney, a city attorney, and a judge, on a committee, that all we're asking for is an opportunity to let them see how this thing works. That nobody is trying to shanghai anybody into any type of punishment. There are a number of things that have happened, and if there wasn't something wrong with this thing, they wouldn't be diametrically opposed to it.
All right, so Mr. Chairman, could I just say one thing?
All right.
Two things. First of all, they are saying, Mr. Oxley has indicated that we are diametrically opposed to a police review board, and I think that probably he is right. I think that basically, though, that what I think he is not saying, or what he has said, is that we have disclosed our mind without any examination of police review board, and this is not true. We have looked at all the existing police review boards, and as I indicated last time, they have not perform the desired effect that this group is indicating that they want. Now, we have written to the International Association of Chiefs of Police and asked them for the present things that have happened on review board. And when we have this, maybe we can produce this to this committee. Now, I think that not only does the police department have a responsibility to look into these things, but I think that the citizens also and the people of this dialogue should look into these things with somewhat more of an open mind than what has been displayed by Mr. Oxley.
One point of difference, Mr. Chairman. I don't think that I have gone into this thing with a closed mind. I haven't stated that at all. My only contention is that we should get cooperation somewhere when we're trying to show good faith. Now, we have a report of a review board that's working in the city of Philadelphia, one of the largest cities in America. And this thing is working, and it's working for the good of the police department and the community. And they are, and the results are stated here in the report. Not something that we dreamed up, it's something that the people are doing in the city.
What is the date of that report, Reverend?
The date of the report is September 3rd, 1962.
Today is 68, Mr. Chairman.
But you still have the things that exist here is still the harassing and the brutality of the police department, which is increasing instead of decreasing because we have this old business of violence and things that the police department is building up a wall again. And any time a person was kept out into a community to say his cause and gather 50 to the people around him, the police would come in large numbers, talking about dispersing and harassing and beating and knocking people around. Now, it's going to develop into one or two things. Either we're going to come to an agreement, logical, intelligent agreement, or we're going to have bloodshed in the streets. And this is not a threat, this is a promise. That people are going to get tired of these police officers brutalizing them, and they're going to sit in these hills and places and shoot them down. That's what's going to happen to them. We're going to a guerrilla thing that nobody can control. And I don't want to see that thing happen myself. That's why I'm here talking.
Mr. Chairman, I think we...
Yes, with your mustache, John.
Thank you. We have, got a little far field from the original point was made regarding the committee that was set up. Having been absent, I have to presume that there was dialogue about the committee, and I have to also presume that the dialogue group as a whole agreed to set up this committee and probably agreed as the guidelines to which this committee would function. And at that time, I'm sure that Lieutenant Davis, who is the representative of the Chief of Police, expressed his opinion coming from the policy of the police department. However, I also have to presume that he was in accord with whatever was set up, or he should have been subject to the will of the majority. Now, since the Lieutenant Davis is a confidant of the police department by definition of his particular division, and since he is also the authorized representative of said chief of police at the particular dialogue, I would think that one thing could settle a lot of this. We would ask the question of Lieutenant Davis, what was his recommendation to the chief of police regarding this particular committee in question. Did he approach the chief of police with us to help and explain what this particular committee was trying to do? And I think that maybe if he had, maybe there might have been room for cooperation. I don't know these things, but I think we continue to presume too much and to go into too many of our own personal perceptions. And I would ask this question of Lieutenant Davis, what was his statement to the chief? Did he thoroughly explain what he was trying to do? And as a result, did he put forth every effort on his part, recognizing what we were trying to get the chief to give us the cooperation necessary?
Joe, I know what you're asking, I understand. I just don't know whether that question should be allowed to be answered by Don Davis.
It's bad to get a point on the chair because you've been downright ruthless. But I think the original premise was that the people who come here are people that can affect change. And the only way they can affect change is to state what has been stated here and give their honest opinion of what we have stated here. And I think the question is purely in order. If the lieutenant wants to make a statement, then let him make it, not let the chair speak for him.
Thank you, Reverend Oxley. I think that it probably is more than likely rather clear to everyone here just how I stand already, but I think that what I took back to the chief was exactly what we discussed at the last dialogue. I indicated to the chief that a committee had been established to not look into the feasibility of having a review board, but to actually look into what type of review board we were going to have. And that's what happened. I also advised the chief that we would be included in this committee. Unfortunately, I erred because we were not included in the meeting. It was my opinion to the chief, and I don't think that this is out of line, that I don't like police review boards for the very reasons that the chief of police doesn't like police review boards. What else I can say, I really don't know.
We are looking at a report still within the context of a committee's report to us. The chair allowed the long discussion between Don and Jim and some of the others deliberately because that was part of the whole reaction in terms of the report. Now we're getting a field again. We're going back to the dialogue and behind the committee's assignment and charge. So a rule that we will go back to the chairman of that committee and let him conclude his report and so forth in terms of that committee or other reactions to the committee's report. Kenny first. You're on the report, Kenny, on that committee's report.
Let me say it now, Joe. Don't really define it. I'll try to keep it like you said, but
well, if you don't, I'm going to rule you out, is what I'm saying.
Well, we'll deal with that when it comes up. Okay, I would like to say, in regards to that last meeting and the report that you gave, you know, what's going on inside me, how I feel, that we can have a police review board if it's watered down. You know, and I thought if we're talking about it more than the police review board, I thought we were dealing with racism. And because to get rid of it, it'd be good for all of us. And I was sitting here and I told Frank, I almost had to wonder, was Jack Katz brought in here as a plant to give us this watered down thing and then we have a review board. And that when you take it also out of the context, it's more than a police review board, that you understand that racism, it denies the police review board has these things protected in. And to keep it in that context, I'm beginning to ask you, you know, what is it going to take? Now, Reverend Lockie says he doesn't have house faith. I goddamn sure do. But rather than for you to, I guess, say yes, I'll tell it is, why not let's talk about the reason why I have this? And remember last time I was against the review board because I thought it was just another place to take some grievances before we continue to let the brutalizing and the justifiable homicides go on. But he doesn't even want that. He wants to let them go on and not even give you the water, give you a police review board. But you can't have down something watered because something watered, you will have it and things go on and they take it up there, but then everybody will be judged not guilty. Now, I don't know where all that fits in, but that's what's going on inside of me right now, you know? And then you wonder why we take the tactics. Or whatnot. I'll tell you something else that goes on. Senator Davis comes here now and the cat next to him, I'm using those terms because there's some people here who I have to respect, you know, and they get a chance to ride it on that. I don't like that. I have to shake hands with them sometimes. I want a job as a counselor or some other places, but the harassment of the dealings that go on when you're not around, there's none of that two type of things go on. And this is racism. And that's what's going on here right now more than the police view board. Now, how you want to deal with that? I don't know, Reverend Lockie. You said you've been in like 2 years on this thing. Now, what's it going to take? And that's the kind of police review board. What's it going to take just so we can live like human beings and not get to this gorilla thing you talk about? And if you think anybody wants to get to that, you have to be sick and crazy. But then you begin to demonstrate that's the only type of tactics that you either listen to or make a slight dent into the damn system. Now, I ask that you and I demand and charge you that you bear that in mind We're talking about racism, not just the police review board. And you've got some people here who racism is beneficial to, and they want to perpetuate it. And I think they ought to go by any means necessary.
Glad you were trying to get in.
Yes. I think that we have gotten considerably far afield of where we were going. And we're going back to what led us up to the decision we made at the last dialogue. Now, unfortunately, because of commitments, prior commitments, I couldn't be at this committee meeting. And what I say today, I might have said then, but I have to say it now. We're getting hung up on something we ought not get hung up on here when we're in carrying out the decision of the dialogue to set up this committee. The question of having a trial dry run was a technique or was something that the committee might use in arriving at its decision, but it was not the function of the committee. That wasn't its purpose. Its purpose was, as Lieutenant Davis said, to draw up a proposal for a review board or whatever you want to call it, and however wide or narrow you're going to create it and recommend it, but to draw up something to meet the kind of problem that we've been discussing, and then that would be proposed. Now, if the police department chooses to allow a hearing on some actual cases, that's one thing, but I don't think we should, we really shouldn't have expected them to do it. We know that they oppose the police review board. Now, if they're going to oppose it as a formal thing, I can't see how we can expect them to come before a committee that's going to set up something and put on a show of somebody making a complaint and the policeman who is then on the carpet and the department that's on the carpet exposing themselves before a committee that's considering it when they aren't ready to even think about having a police review board itself. So I think we better forget that aspect of it or we'll never get to the purpose of the committee and just propose something that we can then act on and deal with all of these questions we're talking about. And I think that in line with what was said by the gentleman at the end of the table and behind the Reverend, and I can't remember your name, sir, I'm sorry.
Yeah. We know what you're talking about.
Yeah, okay. What needs to be reviewed is not just what the police are doing. Maybe they're the hottest spot, but I suspect also that, and it's in here, that what we need to create and recommend is something that's broader than reviewing the police, but that's a part of it. But reviewing all of the actions of government and as it affects the minorities, including the police. And most of your work will probably be of the police, but be broader than that. And you get away from one of the most offensive parts of it, I think, from the police standpoint, is that you are reviewing the police department, and they are only one segment of society, and they are only one agency in the community that represents society and carries out the racist attitudes of society.
Right.
So that set up something that is broader in its perspective, and you might, and don't call it a police review board, it's a sort of an overall ombudsman approach with teeth in it, perhaps, or a little. And then I don't see how the community can turn it down, and I don't see where the police then have an objection to make, because they are not singled out, except in the practices or in the cases that come before. They'll be singled out in that respect because there'll be more cases involving review of police activities. But I think we better get back to what we were supposed to do as a committee and consider what would be the best kind of an administrative machinery to accomplish this purpose.
Would that be consistent with the second jury idea?
Don't get hung up on the second jury idea as a recommendation of mine. I got sort of hoist on my own petard when I mentioned it. That was a little technique or a tactic on my part, and somebody grabbed it. I didn't really mean it, because I'm not the greatest admirer of the grand jury system.
May I go back now and conclude this part? We were hearing a report from a committee. There were several implications of it that I hope by now are cleared up. We are not to go back now and debate whether or not the committee should have or should not have been appointed. That is, we heard enough of that. It was concluded that the committee would be appointed. It was appointed and is functioning. This is its report. I then simply accept the report since there is no recommendation of anything in here.
In conclusion, I haven't.
In
conclusion,
we're on page.
We'll go ahead. In conclusion, we need a citizens' complaint board made up of citizens of our city whose interest is community solidarity and harmony, and to add what I didn't have, to review the complaints of the city in its total involvement with people. And that's our report.
That's a pretty good report, I suppose, for an hour or a quarter minute. So seriously, any...
Want to clarify one point, make sure that everybody understands. I understand. The report indicates that the committee would make recommendations back to the police. And I didn't get anything beyond that.
Is not what it says.
No. It said that.
But he might want to clarify.
In the report... It was said, however, that a police review board should be an impartial body composed of citizens of the community who are willing to devote time to consider complaints against the police department, to evaluate these complaints, to make recommendations to the police department and city manager's office, and to have also a potential instrument, the press, for making remedial actions that appear to be necessary.
Well, the only point I'm trying to make is that it seems to me that the recommendations are made, and besides, I'm just wondering what kind of follow-up, if any.
The chair will rule on that, I'm sorry. That is under the, in the context of a definition of a police board has as one of its functions, the thing that he mentioned. That is not what they are talking about, they do. It starts out that paragraph then, a definition of a police review board was requested and members were referred to the last meeting at which time a definition was established. Then the definition established here, last 2 weeks ago, that one of the functions of such a board included what you're talking about. That's just as if it were over in a dictionary somewhere. That is not what they are saying.
Yeah, you have to report your findings to somebody.
That's all there is. That's an established definition, looking at the other cities and so forth.
We still haven't gotten to the teeth of it, if there's going to be any here, that's all I'm saying.
Well, we're not to get to that, I'm saying. This is a report from them. They will still draw up the proposal and bring it back to us. That's why I stopped it at that point and say we'll not go back and look at all those things.
The proposal of 9 members is what,
Jackie wanted to...
Yeah, Carol, I want to make my position clear. First, I'm very much in favor of a citizens' complaint committee or a police review board or any other kind of an organization that is outside the police department that could review actions or complaints by citizens against the police department. I think that the system we've had obviously is broken down. This is reflected in the Kerner report. And in the absence of something better, this has not been tried on a very wide scale. I don't think it's fair, Mr. Denman, to assume that I'm a plant here or that there's a kind of a conspiracy among people who come to these meetings. I just happened to come, and I wasn't really aware that this was one of the things on the agenda. I think that if you're going to have this kind of thing, you need to think strategically about where we're going. One of the reasons I feel police departments are afraid of this system is that they think that their actions are always going to be you know, because they're being questioned, that naturally they're always going to be found guilty. And I think that they need to be convinced for their own good that it's in their interest to have such a board. The second point is, I think that the citizens of this community really have to have a much better understanding if they're going to support the conclusions that we as a group have come to. And so we have a really very large educational job to do. My suggestion in setting up this committee was just part of the strategy of educating people. I think that if you could get, say, the Urban Coalition, you may have mixed opinions about this. I have. But its purpose is to help minority people find justice in America. And it seems to me that the chairman of a committee like that needs to know about citizen complaint committees and how it works. And there are a lot of other important people in this town who need to know, too. And I don't see any harm in this kind of an educational process.
All right. Rather than to prolong it now, the committee's report is concluded. Is there any action you wish us to take? Is this simply a progress report?
Yes, the progress report.
All right. You are charged to continue. Just continue with meeting and set up the meeting. Would you notify Lieutenant Don Davis?
Oh, yes, we all got him on the list.
So that we don't get into that again. On the agenda, please. We have sensitivity training for police officers. Maybe one of these days, Don, we'll get over the police item here altogether and move on to some of these other institutions.
Carol, Mr. Chairman, before we go on, at the last dialogue, Judge Lindsley asked some questions about some statistics that I brought up on complaints. And I would like to, if possible, bring these out for the dialogue.
Mr. Chairman, I was wondering if this here could be brought there to the committee there.
To the committee that we're talking about?
Yeah.
Well, this question was asked at the dialogue, and the assumption or the allegation was made that if the figures were one way, then it would prove, or it proved that there was an attempt on our part to wash out, so to speak, complaints of the minorities. And I think that this these statistics, right or wrong, should be the answers should be given.
Jesse, do you remember your question?
Yes. Well, as I recall, I had wondered about in terms of the number of complaints, who made the complaints, and then some correlation between who makes the complaints and the type of action taken on the complaint. Was this, in other words, if you had complaints from the minority community which were consistently decided against the minority community, or statistically more were ignored or passed over or decided against them, it might have wouldn't prove anything. It would be evidence tending to, from which one might infer something, but.
Right, disregarding those anything. Disciplinary actions of the 300 some that was taken, 21, 27, so forth.
This was in regards to the complaints received by the police department and the founded cases, the percentages.
All right, would you give it to us then, please?
This is out of 261 complaints that were investigated by internal investigations. 237 of them, that's about 90.8%, were complaints that were brought directly to the police department. Out of that, 45 cases were found to have some supportive evidence, in other words, found it at least in partial or total. 31% of these were minorities, at 14 cases. 10 Negro and 4 Mexican American, which would be 23% of the complainants founded, were Negro, and 8% were of Mexican American descent. Of the total complaints during this period is from June 1967 to September 17th of 1968. Out of this total complaints received by the police department, 13 were received through the Citizens Interracial Committee.
Four were received through the county grand jury, and seven were received through outside attorneys or some other outside agency.
All right. One question on that, Mr. Chairman. He said that there were 290 complaints issued, and 45 of them were with merit. Am I correct? Am I correct?
261 and...
Well, 261 and 45 were 45 had merit, and out of that 45, 31% of them, something happened to them. Well, what were the penalties? I mean, what happened? Were they reprimanded, suspended, apologies issued, or what happened to that?
In all 45 of the cases that were either partially or totally founded, there was disciplinary action. Now, I just don't have the breakdown.
Well, disciplinary action is all out.
Yes.
All right.
You don't get to drive down in period.
I appreciate bringing the statistics. Really, they're too general to tell anything. For instance, you don't know what the 200 and the rest of them were that were not found to be valid, and who made them, and what the nature of the complaints were, and who decided they weren't valid, what kind of investigations were involved in arriving at that decision. Of those that had some validity, the breakdown to determine what kind they were. I'm sure this is available, but I mean, this report is too general to answer.
Carol, if I may interrupt, John did leave out of the recitation of statistics the perspective or the frame of reference into which you'd ought to look at the complaints. Now, this report shows that for June 67 through September of 68, 261 complaints were investigated by the Internal Investigation Section. This, I'm told, comprises all of the complaints lodged against the police with respect to brutality, harassment, or otherwise. But you recognize the 261 complaints against this kind of police contact. In this same period, there were 42,000 adult arrests, 17,000 juvenile arrests, and 12,000 military arrests, for a total of 72,000 arrests. On the citations, this is traffic, there were 291,000 moving citations and 89,000 warnings, for a total of 381,000. The police point out that this totals 453,000 contacts between a uniformed person of the San Diego Police Department and a citizen. They say that out of these 453,000 contacts appeared 261 complaints. They then point out that this is 0.057% of the total contacts resulting in the lodging of a complaint against the police department. I think this perspective is important when you're looking at the numbers of complaints that are filed.
It depends upon how you read that number. Don't get caught in statistics.
Agenda item is sensitivity
training.
I think we need not comment on that yet. I think you are well sensitized enough to read the reaction around the table and would be here until 12 o'clock the next Friday. Let's look at sensitivity training and allow me a minute or two to put it in proper perspective. We've talked about it for several months. The framework, again, in which we're going to talk about sensitivity training, the framework is also established in the Kerner Report. So rather than to listen to opinions by one side and opinions by another, and each one giving his own bag of feelings and bag of prejudices and biases about whether there should be or should not be, let's take it out of our little own San Diego for just a moment and bring it back to San Diego in a minute. The Kerner Report and its comprehensive study. It is very direct and rather dogmatic in the area of this kind of training for police officers. It has several pages there detailing in the total report, the big report, what should be done, what should be looked at, and the kind of input that should be made. So if we can keep in mind that, again, we're not talking about somebody's dreams only, or that somebody sat down and thought about that there ought to be such training, we can take the Kerner report as the basis for it. We can also take all other kinds of reports that have been made over the years and years and years about the need for such training. If we do that, then we can bring it down to San Diego. And the framework in San Diego is that over the past several years, many, many, many different kinds of recommendations have been made with regard to, call it sensitivity training, call it gut street training, street corner training, whatever you want to call it, training for police officers as well as others, but we're still within the police department framework here, so that they may become aware of that other world of reality out there that ordinarily they would not be subjected to in their formal training in the academy. We're open for discussions on that item and that item only. Itself.
Yesterday on the television, they demonstrated this on ABC, the sensitivity training that has taken place in Philadelphia, bringing this up to date, and it was a very recent report of the results of this training that it might be good for Lieutenant Davis to request such, you know, I don't know if ABC lets you see these documentaries at any time, but to see what is happening there, which could happen here.
That's Philadelphia she's talking about, Art?
My question, I think, is in terms of using the phrase police officers. It seems to me that really, if this job is going to be done and be effective, it has to start at the top of the department and work down.
That it's really referring to everybody.
It's a growing feeling that nothing is going to happen here until there's complete changes in sensitivity and attitude at the top.
All right, so we then stipulate that we're talking really about the entire department, and as you talk, you can tell us which level, you know, you're referring to, so that we don't get hung up with that. We're talking about the department, so that we can move on and get with the thing.
I think what we're concerned when we talk about sensitivity, and again, I doubt if the police department would even, again, would probably oppose to this idea.
Don't throw that in, please.
All right. What we're concerned with now is attitudes and behavior of the majority or the authority towards the Mexican American and the black community. I think that what I would like to know is, of those officers who are on the force now, how many of these white Anglos are the ones who come from out of state, coupled with their prejudices, coupled with everything, all their stereotypes about the Mexican American or about the black, how much training do they actually get in community relations towards or relations towards the Mexican American and black? How much time, for instance, is spent telling that officer how the Mexican American feels when he hits that street? How much time is actually spent training him in this? And this is what I would like to know. Now,
put it in terms of state, then training for, you said out of town, you mean just officers?
Sensitizing the police officer towards the attitude and culture or whatever it is of the minority group.
Well, as far as minority race relations, we have 4 hours of public relations and 6 hours of race relations in the academy. We have had an ongoing in-service training program conducted by Dr. McJunkin on Negro cultures. We have, up to this time, had nothing on the Mexican-American per se, but we have at this time a proposal from Mr. Herbie Barra on, it's a 4-hour course which would be included not only in our recruit training but in an in-service training type capacity, which would include the culture problems and it would also include the Mexican American on the police department and his problems, which would be presented to the officer.
Is that electric course or a reaction course?
Well, it, I would have to ask Mr. Ybarra. I don't really know totally, but I think it would be, as Dr. McJunkin had, similar to where there would be a dialogue during the period.
Wait a minute, I'm waiting on you, ma'am. Yeah, well, we haven't had, there is no sensitivity program that I'm aware of. And I have been hired to conduct some lectures and answer questions. But a sensitive program such as you were talking about would involve people in the community. And I'm a sociologist, and what you want is four lectures in which I talk about the nature of culture and how culture is related to human behavior, and then talk about the Negro subculture. That's all right, but that is not necessarily training, and I certainly haven't passed it off as the police department has any kind of training.
I don't want to.
And Herbie Ballard, of course, is not either, as far as I know.
I didn't mean to indicate that this was sensitivity training. I was merely answering Mr. Sy's question as far as what we were doing now.
It's 4 hours out of a total time of how much total time is given? In the cabinet. Total time.
I believe it's 300
and you have 4 hours, and that's the problem. I think that's
326 hours.
That's the problem right there. And I think that this is what should really be targeted in on. It's to sensitize that white or whatever he is towards attitudes of us, Mexican Americans and black brothers, that are really trying to tell you what we really feel you are like when you come to our community. Now, if you give them a 4-hour cultural hang, if you give them an in-depth cultural classroom type of situation, they're not going to get it. They're not going to dig it. They're going to have their same stereotypes. And the minute they get that Mexican American in that car, they're going to beat the hell out of them. And that black man, they're going to do the same thing. This is what we're saying.
Hey, Lieutenant, are they going to have any field trips into the community, the Mexican community, the black community?
Well, let's stipulate first that what we're talking about, so we can be open again and not get off the track. We're talking about the fact that we've already stipulated they have a lecture course in sociology, okay? That is not what we're talking about. He's answered Frank's question with regard to the hours on that. We're back then to this item here. We've eliminated what we're not talking about. We've not been talking about the sociology course. We're now talking about sensitivity training, involvement, and so forth. Now I saw a hand over here first.
Yes. I'd like Mr. Wadadama to comment on the type of training as a Mexican-American officer. I'd like to hear from him as to what he feels, how effective that training is, and what he would recommend as a good training for the officers.
Well, let's ask him if he wants to react to that.
Yes, I'll react to it. As a Mexican-American officer, I feel that the training that they're getting out in, say, Southeast San Diego or the Mexican community has been effective.
Has been effective?
Yes, it has. This is my personal opinion. I have met with many officers out in the field, and I think many of them are sensitive to the problem.
Over here.
You seem to be forgetting a rather large segment of the minority community here in San Diego, and that's the long hair community. It's not only blacks and browns, it's
just
people that got a little hair. They don't wear a button or something like that.
You're the white picker.
I disagree with the cops. Yeah. It's them too. I mean, when you're down in the beach scene, you know, like right away, just the fact that you're wearing, you've got bare feet, and you got long hair, you're an automatic pickup.
But could I, 1 minute further than that, when you've named them, how many thousand was that, Mr. Butler?
453,000.
It's not only you, it's also all of you middle class people that think you're free, they won't do it to. If you check Chicago, the person just trying to gather a car, so it's more than that. And then you get back to racism, and also get back to if you even identify close to black, or if you want to stand up in your community and talk about racism, and it's you too, because you're either a nigger lover or a communist. So that's why, you always think I want to get out of line, you know, and I'm down there now trying to,
I made Joe a promise that I talk like you said, however it is, your rules. But then that's how you come, you get away from it. It is, you know. And racism is going to make damn sure. You can't tell me if Lieutenant Davis wants to keep that job, he has to bring that report back. Or Emanuel has to. We understand that.
Sure we do.
Because if we've talked to Emanuel when he's on the street, you know we have Frank. I understand that. But I want to deal with reality. You know, I understand you can't come down here and say that you're not getting enough of that damn training, what few officers you have. But that's a reality. But I understand, too, that you got a right to live on your job.
I wanted to ask you a question, Mr. Chairman. We have it on the agenda, and I was, my thought was that the police department, as the Board of Education and other groups that made reports, had a prepared report dealing with the sensitivity training in the police academy, preparing officers to take the course. And to my knowledge now, they have no sensitivity training program in the police academy at the present time. They are working on one, and it's dealing with culture first.
Well, let's ask that question. Are you?
I'm asking that's what the report is.
No, I didn't mean to indicate at all that we were looking into or proposing a sensitivity training class. I merely indicated what Mr. Ibarra had proposed as a method of training for the Mexican-American cultures. I've read some on sensitivity training, and I've read both pro and con, and we have educators here, and we have people here who can perhaps explain sensitivity training. What are we talking about?
That's a good idea.
I'd like to get an answer to that.
Mr. Chairman, my question is not that. I'm not asking that question at all. My point is that if you have a police lieutenant and a sergeant here who are in the upper echelon of police science, and they are not aware of any type of training dealing with sensitivity, there's something wrong, there's something drastically wrong with the whole thing. This is what I'm saying. You see, now, you work at a disadvantage being a Caucasian dealing with blacks in the first place. If you have all the training in the world that you need, then you work under handicap because you are not black. And this is why we made a contention that in order to stop some of the squabbling in the community, that we felt that there should be some black police officers in administrative capacity. And we made the request that we have two black sergeants that were sensitive of the problems of the blacks in the community. You have the Mexican-American sergeants now who we assume, well, they are not, we assume that they are sensitive to the Mexican-American problem. I'm sincere now because I think this is something we've been talking about all the time. And we discovered here now that one of the chief public relations officers of the department is not aware of either sensitive trade at all and want to know what the definition for it is.
Mr. Chairman, I object to what Mr. Reverend Oxley has indicated.
I'm quoting you, Lieutenant.
I in no way indicated that I had no knowledge of sensitivity training. I just merely asked a question. What are we talking about? I asked sensitivity training. There's a million names for what is called sensitivity training. Now, if what we're talking about is a particular type of training, well, let's find it out. That's all I'm asking.
What I'm talking about is that do you have white officers in that academy who are dealing with the black problems and how to deal with black people, how to deal with long-haired people? Or do you have that type of problem? Or do you have that type of training in the academy that when a white officer comes out of there with all of his prejudice that he's been steeped and rooted and grounded in through his early training from his daddy that niggas are no good? Do you have that type of training to eradicate that thing in that man's mind before you put a star and a pistol on him and send him out in the community to deal with black people? This is what I'm talking about sensitive training. It's not any long theoretical term, not any long term that you have to break down the dictionary. It's either you are training those people in there how to deal with black people when they see them walking down the street, looking in a window, that he's not a thief, gonna break in a store. The police stopped a woman the other night. A woman out there in Canada into the hospital, and his question was, roll down your window and get out of that car. What are you trying to do, hold up this filling station? there's a woman in a car trying to take another woman to a hospital. I mean, there should be some type of training given to those people to deal with people as human beings, not because they're black people. See, this is the thing that I think we're talking about, and this is the point we've been getting from the other departments. The school board came in with all of their work outlined, whether we agreed with it or not. They had it.
All right. Don, we'll get back to you in just a moment. Hold up.
Carol, I think Don asked a question, which what kind of sensitivity. I think the Los Angeles Police Department has one type, where they take and the training of police officers, have them stop them on the street, just regular white police officers, harass them, do everything that they do to them, let them feel just how it feels to be harassed or brutalized. You see, then they get sensitive. That's the way they get it. This is one technique. You know, there are many techniques.
Sure, I think, again, we're talking about attitudes and stereotyping. I think this is what we're really directing this. You can call it, you don't have to get hung up with this with the word sensitivity. You know that. It could be called anything. It could be called encounter. It could be called anything. But I think what we're concerned about, I think this is Reverend Oxley said, gave his example on the picket line. On the picket line, we asked two officers for their badge numbers, and they told us, what do you want it for? They knew we were Mexican. What do you want it for? To report to the Better Business Bureau. This is what we're talking about. You know, all we want to do is be respected. That's all. So if that's the attitude we're being confronted with, those people are not coming out the way we think, or the way they should even their attitudes. They're not even coming out past sensitized to what we are, what we're talking about. See, that's all we're talking about. So don't get hung up on sensitivity.
Carol, over here.
The probation officers in San Diego, I know, conduct a sensitivity program, and I was in a sensitivity encounter session with two probation officers, and I was wearing an Eldridge Cleaver for President button, and immediately, without even knowing, labeled me as a communist, because the problem in society with students like myself, and he turned off me. And so if they're going to institute this type of sensitivity training in the police officer academy, I think is worthless. Because those probation officers were only sensitive to other probation officers and not to the problem.
He hasn't got long hair.
All right, and then we got somebody back here.
I'd like to just take this one step further. In the past week, I had a conversation with one police officer who was trying to utterly convince me.
Stand up so we can hear you, please. I'd like to.
Okay. I had a conversation in the last week with one police officer who didn't know that I was a minister and involved down here, who was trying to convince me that even the Urban League was a communist plot.
Really?
What? As conservative as the Urban League is. And this kind of jolted me, you know. What kind of perception do we have?
Judge Lindsay, that is rather interesting that you are a member of the chairman of the board of directors of the Urban League, but we won't get into that.
I've been trying to convince people for a long time that I'm a conservative. Nobody would believe me.
Now you see, he knows.
Joe? No, back here, I'm sorry.
Okay. You're not sensitive to me.
I think as a perhaps the definition of a sensitivity, Don, it might be that what we would like to see, or what people like to see, would be when you come and you're able to say how the chief of police would feel about a thing, that you can just as equally say when you're with the chief of police how the minority community might feel about a thing or perceive a thing. And then I'd like to give an experience, because Dick never says very much here. Dick Gibbs, who's head of California Youth Authority, but something that does happen from dialogue and other things is that seeing this problem and realizing, I think, the lack of sensitivity, Dick went back and through the California Youth Authority did conduct sensitivity training. Now, maybe it can be called all kinds of things, and it may not have been the most sophisticated thing, but it was a start. And we were able to help with it. But it's where you bring the people to the officers, the probation officers, the parole officers. I think it's probably their first time having encounter, direct confrontation with the people who are involved as Mexican American, as black, and problems that happen day to day, how they feel about it. Now, some of those probation officers probably became very polarized. Others became very sensitized. They could see there was another side. There is another way of feeling. There's another way of reacting. And I think if the police department, who is in a much more authoritarian role, could take the same lead, maybe quietly, maybe without big fanfare, just because you see the need. I don't think Dick's program's any big thing. I think it'll probably go on from there. It was a start because someone saw the problem and was sensitive to the need. And this is all they're asking the police department, to be sensitive to the need. As an example, I got a speeding ticket, and I happened to give my card after he'd written out the ticket to the officer, and he said, oh, Citizens Interracial Committee. Now, immediately, in 5 minutes, I would say that that officer, I would pick him out as being outstanding. And he said, tell me, he said, I really am interested in how things are in Southeast San Diego. He didn't say down there. He said, in Southeast San Diego. He said, I really would like to be able to do something. I think I'm limited as a police officer, but as a person, I'd like to be able to do something because I think we've got a big problem. Two statements. They're very simple. I think they were from his heart. And he showed a degree of respect because of what he thought that I represented as far as some contact with minorities. It would take a 5-minute interview with someone like that to feel that he has the potential for real sensitivity. We have a lot of other examples. A very quick interview can tell you where someone's perception is, where someone's feeling is. But this, I think, is what's asking, so you can become as sensitive to this viewpoint as you are to the chief's viewpoint.
Joe, I just had one area I'm trying to go things out. Tie in, if I might. We were talking about two specific things this morning. Can't find it very nicely. Sensitivity of the police department in the area of complaints. And the question I have never had answered. I would like to know if the officers who run the internal investigation squad have any sensitivity or dialogue with the officers from the community relations squad in terms of understanding the perception of minorities, in terms of complaints, how minorities feel when they put in a complaint. What are they talking about? I would like to know if this occurs. Because indeed, if these are the gentlemen, and by the statistics, if these are the gentlemen that write the reports that are supposedly say whether a report is valid or invalid, they should, above all, be knowledgeable about black, brown, and indeed white, both youth and adult. And I would like to know if they have done this, just not maybe in race relations, but just in human relations.
Sure, if I might, community relations and internal investigations works extremely close together. In fact, we're about a door and a half apart. But I think it's important to note that the department does wish this sensitizing thing. In internal investigations, Sergeant Bob Williams, who used to be in community relations, is now an investigator in internal investigations. So I think that this is a, it's obvious that the chief feels that Sergeant Williams is well aware of what many of the problems of the minority puts up with, and therefore he is very competent to investigate complaints regarding this. What I'm concerned about in this sensitivity.
Can you answer his question then, based on what you said?
Okay.
Do you dialogue with the
right.
internal?
Yes.
Okay. How many hours of this?
Well, this is informal.
How often?
Every day.
In other words, you sit down and just talk, but I mean an official dialogue where issues are put on the table and you talk about them. Just your conversation with the lieutenant about a specific case.
No, we didn't.
Where you're actually trying to make
no
this division knowledge.
He said no, Joe.
Okay. Now, go ahead. I just want to make sure Joe didn't come.
What I was attempting to bring out before was not to give anybody the indication that we did not desire training to bring about sensitivity on the part of the officers. This is what we're attempting to do through our training program. But what I am questioning is we are talking about a specific type of training designed to do this. Now, I may be wrong, but if that's what we're talking about, I'm curious to know what the feeling of the group is in regard to, quote, sensitivity training.
Don, I have a feeling that you're not even ready to get into sensitivity training until you set up the climate and the opportunity for that officer who had to express his concern to Rosemary to get this taken care of inside the police department. I think that should exist along with the sensitivity training.
Marcel?
I know that perhaps the police department doesn't have this type of training, but the sensitivity groups are going around all over town. Now, if an officer was interested, would they be allowed, because I understand there's a good control of your after hours, too, off-duty hours. I'm not sure that this is right. This is only a hearsay understanding. But would you be allowed to undergo sensitivity training in outside of the department, just dealing with people?
In an off-duty capacity, that would be up to the officer. There would be no restriction put on his being involved in sensitivity training.
Would the police department recommend, would you as a community relations officer recommend that to officers that wanted it?
If the officer came to me and asked me, I certainly wouldn't tell him not to.
No, I mean as a recommendation, you know, like, you know, something that would be a suggestion to the department published someplace. Are being held information on
well, if we're talking about dialogues...
No, sensitivity training.
Well,
or
we would certainly, put it out for the officers to... their own consumption, but I can't, in all fairness, say that I've heard anything about sensitivity things going on.
Western Behavioral is in La Jolla, and they're one of the founders of sensitivity training, and I'm sure that just
they're
a call from them would give you all kinds of information. Call to them would give you all kinds of information on that.
Let me clarify the area, if I may, through Dr. McJohnson, if he will do so. Just in order to get it on the table, because I hear Don still asking that question, would you separate just in a sentence or two, if you will,
what two
the difference between, say, the dialogues, general dialogues, and sensitivity, if there's any?
Yeah, well, usually.
Stand up, Max.
Somebody's going to holler, sit down in a minute, Max.
The sensitivity program that various police departments have been conducting, I think the only one I've seen is the one in Houston, and I saw that on television. What they actually do is take a small number of policemen and bring in people from the community who have volunteered and who are interested and who are the real people in the community, not professional people, but people who live in the community. And then you raise questions and you let the police, it's a two-way street in which the police talk about the problems that they have and how they see it, and the other people talk about the problems that they have with the police and how they conceptualize it. And then many times you might ask a young man with long hair to pretend that he is a policeman and then let him make the arrest the way he sees policemen arrest a policeman the way he sees it, and then the policeman reacts the way he sees it, and then the whole group discusses. Well, I guess you see what I'm talking about. But the main thing there that's missing in dialogue, it seems to me, is that you get a chance to, well, just to take the role of the other person and therefore see it the way the other person sees it. And usually, Don, that's what they're talking about when they talk about sensitivity training.
Judge? We're in a different climate now on this subject with the police department than you are with the police review board. I get the feeling that the police department is not resisting sensitivity training. This is something that they would be willing to consider and develop. Am I correct?
Anything that we can do to
help. All right. All right. Anything you can do. And so I think we ought to start with that premise now that we aren't receiving resistance from the police department. So just then move to the next step and undertake. I don't think we should expect the police department to set up its own program to provide sensitivity training for itself. One doesn't follow the other. If they need a program, they're not able to set it up themselves to give it to themselves. This means that there should be the utilization of the other facilities and institutions and agencies within the community which are knowledgeable in this area, who could work with the city and the police department in developing programs for the police department to give the kind of sensitivity training that is called, whatever you want to call it, we're calling it sensitivity training. San Diego has perhaps the most professionally qualified people in this area of any place in the country. We have better facilities here than any place I can think of in order to do this. And it's just a matter of resolving, it's something that can't hurt us and it might help us. Let's do it, and let's do it properly. Let's start out the best way. Now, and I think that the police department would be willing to consider this. And so why don't we move on to that point and decide that then this dialogue would recommend that the facilities and institutions of this community be utilized in order to develop for the police department the kind of sensitivity training program that would do most good. This isn't education in sociology. This is not teaching knowledge. This is developing the human psyche and how you react to other people. And what we're doing here, of course, as we are with the Police Review Board, is dealing with effects. After we get through with this, I wish we would then move on to the first thing, and that is getting the right kind of people on police departments.
Don't bring in too much yet.
No. Not today. I'm just suggesting future agenda. Okay? Yeah. All right. Not today. All right.
Miro. You want that? Okay, and then Miro.
There has been in San Diego some attempts at this kind of thing. You do recall that these fields had something like this some weeks ago. I would urge you, though, when you do it, that a professional person be involved. And I don't mean a sociologist, I mean a psychologist.
Yeah.
Should be involved, and so that the right kinds of questions can get raised, and so you can get interpretation of what you're really getting back.
That's why I'm talking about institutions outside the professional agencies, outside of the police department, to develop the program. All right.
Okay, Joe.
I want to throw one thing back, because again, it's been an old thing that we have fallen into the old bad game. I would disagree with the judge on one thing. I agree with him on the balance. Indeed, I don't think the police department is resisting sensitivity training. However, I don't feel that they're going out looking for it. They have an agency in this city that has the knowledge and indeed is well known throughout this Southern California as being able to provide what we're talking about, or at least being able to sit down and schedule this and set it up. And again, we find ourselves not utilizing this agency in one of its main roles, and that is CIC. Now, it's a city agency. I see no reason why the police department couldn't apply to this city agency for this type of help. I don't know if they have. I don't know if they haven't. But again, I think Mr. Wayman is capable. And Max is a psychologist. And I'm sure that
he could take some time in his busy schedule to set it up, if he were approached for it. I move that the CIC act as a pivotal point on sensitivity training for the police department and use whatever resources available.
I second the motion, Mr. Chairman.
It's a move and second is that CIC serve as the pivotal point for setting up sensitivity training for the police department. Questions? All in favor? Opposes? I move that fast, but I was because I thought we ought to talk about maybe other things with under that. Let me mention one or two of them. The question is really what has been done to date, and maybe this is not the point to talk about that. The point is what is the status of attempts, as Mac mentioned, only one that most of you know about, but there are, over the past several years, there is a volume of detail, I don't know, phase that really has not been written up. I have some of it in front of me here now, in terms of covering every possible variation of the programs that are throughout the country in terms of sensitivity training for county employees, police department, sheriff,
point of order, Mr. Chairman. Point of order, Honorable Chair. We have invested the thought into the CIC's hand and
well taken, Mr. Chairman.
The other ramifications for the support, we would like to have that as the agenda calls for it on whatever time the committee.
Thank you very much.
I have one matter.
You're in order.
I have a matter of importance, two matters of importance.
May I take care of a last item on that before you do that? Did you get that in terms of the agenda item? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, we had on last time, month's agenda, the progress with the police department in the request and the commitment that was made by the department in reference to two black sergeants. I have been informed, and I have before me the memorandum from the chief of police that they have gone beyond the call of request.
Oh, just to be sure I'm understanding you, Jim. This is with regard to that other item that was on the agenda before, progress report on that.
Progress report, yes.
Okay, I'll entertain that. Go ahead.
We want to commend them for the chief for going beyond the request of the dialogue and the committee that was selected by the dialogue to confront the chief and the city manager's office. And if I'm permitted, I would like to read what I have, the memorandum I have coming from the chief of police's desk. Date September 13, 1968, to Walter H. Hahn, Jr., city manager, attention, AA, Big E personnel director, from O.J. Rowe, chief of police. Subject, creation of a new job title class, community relations assistant to the chief of police. It is requested that the Civil Service Commission create the above titled job class for this department. It is further requested that the police department receive budget authorization for two additional positions in this classification. These positions would be comparable to the three police sergeants presently assigned to our Community Relations Division. In justification of this request, I submit the following information. Recently, the San Diego Community Dialogue passed a resolution indicating that it was their feeling it was imperative that two Negro officers be immediately appointed to the rank of police sergeant. The Urban Coalition, acting upon a recommendation from their Law and Justice Subcommittee, also passed a resolution supporting the Community Dialogue proposal. Recent events in this city and throughout the nation indicate to me the necessity of significantly increasing our efforts to achieve a greater degree of understanding with all segments of our population, especially the minority and active descendant groups. Myself and I have devoted considerable time and effort to resolving this problem. We have met with and received splendid cooperation from members of the Civil Service Commission, the city council, the mayor, and our efforts to study this complex request, in our efforts to study this complex request. It is imperative in our collective judgment that the integrity of the civil service, that the integrity of the civil service merit system be retained, and it is equally important that the professional standards of this department not be lowered. In light of all these conditions, I therefore propose the creation of these two positions above described. The ultimate selection of the two patrolmen who are sensitive to the problems in the minority community to this new classification should enhance the department's communication and bring to my office in a more direct fashion an interpretation of the minority community's problems. The creation of these positions will allow this department to provide a more meaningful level of service to these critical areas. I further recommend that the promotional examination to fill these positions be held as soon as practical. Attached is a draft classification specification for your review. It goes into what I want to commend the police department for going the, as a Christian minister, the second mile. This is the second mile that they've gone. We only asked them for two black sergeants. But from this particular memorandum, they are going to add two people as, community experts in the field of race relations. And there's no race description here, which I feel is a good step. Maybe they'll take one black or one Mexican American or one Caucasian or something. But I wanted information for some of us that may not have known it, what they are doing, and I trust that this is not my point here. But I hope that this is not in conflict or not a substitute of the commitment that the chief made to the city council. I trust that this is not, because this is not the statement that was made to the community of San Diego. We didn't ask for this. We asked for two black sergeants. And this states, this is in direct contrast to what we have stated. But I'm saying that this is a good move on the Hatton Police Department.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Now, I can't answer any questions about it because I don't know anything more about it when it read.
All right.
I'm hoping that it's not, as I said, in lieu of what we have requested.
No. On November 6th, 3 months will be up, and at that time we would expect to have the appointment of the two black sergeants. As far as I know.
Yes, as far as I know, this I said, but I want to commend them for their effort going beyond the call of duty.
All right. Well, this is not, your committee was appointed to do that other thing.
That's right.
And they have committed themselves to two black sergeants.
Oh, yes. Back to the contrary.
On November 6th, that will be forthcoming.
Yes.
Plus these, whatever that is.
Yes. And we want to commend them, and if they need any help from us, whatever we can do to help, that we can do to mold them. And for this particular thing, I think we should mold the climate. If there's a crowded climate in the minds of the community about this thing, I think we should help the police department and the city manager's office bring about these two positions.
All right. Because, in addition to the other two.
Because, the other two is still, as far as we know, coming up on the 6th of November.
All right.
I trust Sergeant Marshall is being facetious.
I don't want to be facetious. I don't want to be.
But you know that you have a proposal for what they're going to do in your hands.
No, we don't know that. We have the two black sergeants in there. They're trying to change their racist ways down there, so we assume this is a good act. We still ask that two black sergeants come in, so he's not being facetious, and you shouldn't assume that.
On the assumption that there's room for both of these things, I assume that's what they're doing.
I assume they're doing both, Glenn. I haven't had any official communication from anyone regarding this as a we are aware of all the implications that you're saying, obviously. However, to the degree that that was an official request, official committee on which you served and we went through this, and a public commitment for the two black sergeants, I must assume, as part of the official group here, that this is in addition to that.
Amen.
Yeah, well, we may have the same thing being in our minds, but if we were in a committee and we haven't heard anything to the contrary.
I assume that. Frankly, that's what I was...
I'm using a word commitment here.
I listened to what Reverend Osley read, and it's puzzling to me, too. It's in my mind, I think that I have the same perception of what was read as everybody else in here. And if this is the case, and if we're going to go 2 miles instead of one, I wholeheartedly agree with the police department on that. But it appears to me that I think you've been put in the haze, you know. It's a myth. You can't exactly see out of it, and you can't exactly see in it. What really strikes me is that they're attempting to give us something that we didn't ask for.
It now, does not yet appear what we shall be. But
well, I'm speaking in advance, so if I have to say I told you, so then you know. when we asked for two black sergeants, one of the specifics that we did mention, and I did because this is the thing I jumped up and down on all the time, we did not want two black sergeants in the community relations department. This is not what we wanted.
But then that's what the communication said. Didn't say that.
Yeah, but see, him, I'm saying this like I told you. I don't want to say that that I told you so. I'm not confident that we're going to get two black sergeants, but I'm hopeful that we do. From listening to what you read, I assume that we're going to fall in the category that was just presented, maintaining the standard of our policies and so forth. And I see someone here from the Civil Service Examining Board, one of the representatives, and I'm convinced that this individual knows exactly what I'm about to say. And, well, I better not say it.
Yeah.
But maybe I may not get a chance to say it again. But
well, we all know what you're saying.
Okay, what it boils down to is this. The community has asked for two black sergeants. And, yeah, black sergeants. And what the opinion that I have now is that we won't get them. So if there's any way other than the channels that we have gone through to get them, if these avenues are explored and the results are negative or positive, I mean, I hate to say this, but I'm afraid that the police department is going to be in a lot of trouble. And it's not going to be because the people in the community, they didn't try to warn them in advance. So I'm hoping that Mr. Davis and his colleagues will go back and tell the chief that, hey, chief, I think you're making a mistake, and you better get back with the city manager and try to iron this thing out again because the community is not going to stand for it.
Okay.
Now, I hope he can read between lines, and I don't hope what joke ever he got in his hand is exactly what I'm saying, but as far as I'm concerned, if we don't get them, I'm going to be one of the persons, and I'm making this, now, this is not a threat, this is a promise. I will join whatever force that it is necessary to take the action to see that we get these two black sergeants.
I'll be looking for you on November 7th, brother.
While it's true that they don't have sensitivity training down at the police department yet, I don't think they can possibly be so insensitive to what it's been all about as to think that the community is going to go out on a snipe hunt with an empty bag and come back with the empty bag. And that, if this is what they're proposing as a substitute, that's a snipe hunt. And if any of you have ever been on snipe hunts, you know what I'm talking about.
Not all that one.
They cannot be that insensitive, and so I assume that they're going to do both.
I think that we should assume they're going to do both, frankly. I'm aware of everything that anyone can possibly think of. You know, we all live with this every day. We're not naive enough to sit here and assume that there are not all these other possibilities and implications and all of that. We are all here, very sophisticated, everybody sitting in this room. We know all those things. To the degree, however, that was an official committee, to the degree that it was a public commitment, to the degree that it's in the press, to the degree that I have calls all the time about when will the 3 months be up. to the degree that it was on the agenda 2 weeks ago to have a progress report, to the degree that there is a consensus here that the commitment to have the two black sergeants was made in good faith and therefore will be forthcoming on November 6th or 7th, 6th is the deadline date, to that degree I have to assume that this is in addition to that. And I think if we continue simply to assume that and have those have the announcement on November 6th or 7th, whenever that is, I think that we would then be in better position to appraise motives. However, Mano is, Wilhelm is here, if you'd like to react to that, and others that are here, if you'd like to react to that, you have the floor now.
Well, my only comment, sir, is that I do not see any place where the police department, not Reverend Ockley, made a commitment that on November 6th there were going to be two black sergeants.
What?
I want to see.
You're not suggesting that erosion is setting in, you're just saying that that term is never used, is that it?
That is correct. I think the statement was made to the committee, sir, that there are procedural problems in our civil service system and that we were attempting to do whatever was possible to accomplish this in a 90-day period.
Accomplish this, clarify for two black sergeants.
I think it's very clear in the communication you read what the intention was on these positions, and this is all I can say.
All right, it would seem to me we'd get in a whole lot of hassle here for the next 2 hours or so. We extracted from the minutes all of those statements so that we would have them for record purposes that are isolated. We have a total, about 12-page summary of all of the contacts and all of this with the committee, you know, the report. I think, again, we'd get into all kinds of hassle if we don't have each of those before us on November 6th and so forth to determine where we are. But now to build some straw man right now, I think would be leading to more confusion. Blard.
I'd like to make one statement. I'd like to get part of a clarification. Is it a fact that the community works for the police department or the police department works for the community?
Theoretical fact.
Seems to me if the police department works for the community, then the police department would do what the community asked them to do. I think maybe this might be our hang-up in our whole society right now. It seems that police officers have finally decided that we work for them rather than they work for us as taxpayers. I think that the grassroots community do pay tax in all of their various forms, and if they request something, I think they should abide by that request. I'd like to put that on the record. The community feels that the police department is working for the community rather than the community working for the police department.
All right. Kenny, I think we're going to...
I don't want to disrupt your thing. Most people think I come to disrupt, and that's an outright lie. Rosa, you know better than that. I would like to say, though, I have a request, and I'm reluctant to go to at some point before any more people leave, because there are some people here. If I can get here to, can do some things I'd like to see done. There are some things going on in our community from a local level, especially something going up down the coast of California nationally. And I need to take this time while some of you are here and some other people like the press and some of you have some type of pull. There's some things I'd like to say. How do I convey to not you, but a whole massive group here that I, as a member of a certain organization, am not a threat to you or I'm not a racist or whatnot, or that the people that I work with and a lot of you in here, from one range to another, because you treat me like a human being. And I need to bring I need 20 minutes of this group's time. I don't know what kind of order you put that in, but I submit that to you. You know, when you get through with your thing before you leave, you take that into consideration.
These are announcements or requests. What are you saying?
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, yeah. Okay, no, I'm sorry. I know you're going to go ahead and off your head.
Well, when it gets through, I have the same thing to object that he's talking about.
Is it within this framework?
Yes. Of dialogue, action, and awareness. Yes.
All right, let me recognize Leon Tan from a minute or two. Okay, you no longer. All right, Reverend, so we can
get it out. A reaction to something that happened up north this week dealing with Mr. Cleaver, who is an identified member of the Black Panther organization, and we know that he was given credentials as a lecturer at the University of California, Berkeley, and it incited much controversy in the hierarchical circles, and as a result, I think that he was dismissed or something, but we had a response, whether it's pending, whatever it is, it's pending, but we had a
brother, you know that. Go ahead, read it.
We had a reaction to this coming from our own city, and in particular our district attorney's statement in the paper this morning, Mr. James Don Keller, who in substance is proposing that any person, regardless of his racial identity, ethnic concern, if he's convicted of a felony while attempting to aid minorities in their fight for freedom, that this person would be restrained from obtaining employment in the county in particular, or civil service employment. And I think this is to the extreme to try to present an ordinance to that effect in our city, and I think it should be open to us for our discussion. I'm diametrically opposed to it. I use that term all the time. It's the only one I know how to use. But I'm against this type of an assumption, this type of action being a part of the being an ordinance in our city and in any city as far as that matters. Now, it deals with any person. Actually, it states that any person, whether he be black, brown, or white, that aids in any manner in any type of disruption as far as minorities are concerned, if that person is involved and convicted, and which we know how the convictions come about of a felony, that he be barred from upper echelon appointments. This is what that boils down to.
Mr. Carroll and Ford, I need the time before you go into discussion.
Yeah.
Just as some facts. I need the board just for 20 minutes, and that's what I'm asking. But I need to do that before you start your question.
Well, I don't think we can give you 20 minutes, Captain. Yeah. I think what
before
we have
you
to
make
do
a decision, could we ask the group or all
no,
you
no, wait a minute. Let me finish first. I think what we have to do is have you start telling us something about, if you're following Jim there, the context of this, if you wish. And then somewhere along the line, we will see if you are, you know, right on target or not, and see if we can get to discuss. Jim has raised an important question there.
Would you like to start?
You can begin to tell us your reactions and input.
It's 20 because I'm going to be fair, but I'll try. It's kind of limited me that way.
Well, I could say 10 now. That gives you
well, I'll start. I'll start. You're going to bear with it, Carol.
Okay.
I have confidence in you. I'm not going to let you limit this thing, though, to just Mr. Cleaver or Black Panther. I'm going to make sure that you keep this on.
Yes,
I
want to say one thing.
All right, Bill. I'm going to go the same way that you and I. Okay. What is going on here, and what I'm concerned with, is this. You take the press that has been coming out the last 4 days, and we definitely have to deal with our local officials here. And if I then turn around and put myself in the place of the masses, middle-class white Americans, who is not here, then you will never, ever have a chance to understand the Cleavers. And when we begin to talk about people like Cleaver or Newton, we're not talking about those people per se. It talks about George Stevenson. It talks about Frank Sciases. It talks about this. And this. middle class white America if the headlines or the mass media, which controls and programs all of us, by the time you get through those first four lines, then you forget if a man is qualified to teach, if he's an author of a book, if he's a presidential candidate. Now, how I combat that, or the people that I work with, they have said that the trouble is, Kenny, that people don't know your position or your policies. And I was asking, how do we put that out on television, in our newspaper, which we don't have? And I was wondering how I could even get, like the gentleman, like Mr. Curran, our mayor. This is what Curran says. The appointment is certainly out of my jurisdiction, and my knowledge of the circumstances is limited. However, it appears that they have sunk to a new low in picking college educators. That's what Mr. Curran said. Chairman Henry Bonney, I question that this type of teaching citizens are interesting and paying for. It seems ridiculous to teach violent overthrow of the government and disregard of the law for law and order when teaching just the opposite. And I challenge the interview to show where Elvis Cleaver has teached overthrowing of the government. Supervisor Frank Gibson, is he here? Said that the university has erred in allowing such a controversial program to be printed on campus. It seems to me there is enough trouble in the world today without having our educational and tax support institutions contributing to the elements that have so little respect for our God-given American way of life. And he didn't even say this. The God-given way of life doesn't apply to me and Frank. Do you understand how unfair it is? And I, you know, wonder what channel is in for it to go. Councilman Harry Shiloh said he believes the university demonstrated the very depth of poor judgment in deciding to permit Aries Cleaver, an ex-convict and super militant, to give accredited lectures on Berkeley campus. And then, if I want to go for understanding, it would be hard for me to say Mr. or Mrs. Middle Class White America. After 9 years, he hasn't, you know, contributed in the fields of writing, arts. That he has engineered probably one of the most successful black-white working relationships in the world today. And that's when you begin to talk about these groups that have all black groups and white groups. He just went on television and said, yes, I will defend it with my life. Okay, before I read something, I have to read to you, I would like to read, if I can find it, Jack Walsh. Says, the university has a legal right to hire representatives of all points of view. As long as individuals comply with the laws of this country, they should be entitled to freedom of expression as well as the opportunity to work, Wall said. That's what the parade of the 27th Marine Regiment on Broadway was all about. I want you to know there was another side to it. But the whole thing that's going on, that everybody from, I'll have to remember that promise I made to you in that language, and from that Governor Reagan and those legislators and to these individuals who I've just read comments from, does not want this to go on. And you couldn't be an Elvis Cleaver. It could be a Marcuse. It could be Reverend Oxley. It could be any of you. That's what you're failing to realize. I went in there, and they are educating and getting California program to respond to it because of the way they are telling what he is, you know, not what he might have to offer. The question has not been even came up, is he qualified? That hasn't been discussed. Am I correct there? Governor Reagan, you know, from your own press, said he didn't care if the funds were printed on a counterfeiting machine. He didn't want him there. And that if you're talking about racism and you realize the whole problem, then you understand. We have to now go back to Mr. Cleaver personally. When there was a hassle involved with the police department, and he was whisked from the scene straight to San Quentin prison, you know, which you're not supposed to do. Your law say that. And it's a judge that saw what was going on, ordering release, and you know that Reagan is the chairman of the adult authority and makes those political appointments, and that Reagan also made it quite clear what he thinks about higher education and what he would like to do to Berkeley anyway. You know, so there are more things involved than just a black man in this thing. And that I would like to read something to you, and the things that I'm only bringing about is, how do I get a chance to repudiate that to most of our white citizens in this deal who might not know that Kenny Denman is also a Black Panther, and Mr. Keller I want to refer to the condition, and but it also never gives us a chance to say it. Erwin Cleaver, Kenny Denman, George Stevens, and Frank, I'm a human being. I have a job. I'm contributing. I'm out of state college, yet to drop below a 3.0. You know, these types of things. I never get a chance. And then you wonder about, they continually talk about Mr. Cleaver's four-letter words. If you could know what 9 years would do to you in that system on the beat that he went, and they talk about that rape charge, and we're trying to get the papers down there to show you how that was dealt with, and he did not get convicted on that, of these type of things. And then you wonder why. I'm sitting here now, and the reason I guess I'm able to be this cool and calm for what you're doing to me inside of my manhood is I made a promise to this brother, and I made a promise to this brother, and because I think you're going to go your normal ways, and that brother back there with them shades on is running off, because you go your normal ways, they'll be in the Black Panther Party anyway. See, we don't have to worry about the recruiting. You do the recruiting. Time and Newsweek magazine said that because of the way white America is going on with its normal channels, that you're making us the largest growing organization there. It's not us. Don't you understand that? That's what I'm saying. If you bear me this far, if I could read this here statement.
Can I make one comment before you start that?
You're the boss, Carol.
All right. No. The framework then in which you have set this, you were using Reagan and names like that in order to get your framework set, right?
It's bigger than Reagan, it's bigger than Cleaver.
All right.
It's bigger than Police Review Board sensitivity training. We're talking about the whole heart of the program.
All right. From now on, would you center it down so we can talk about then, after you finish,
San Diego?
Yeah, or the core of what you feel is the issue there.
All right.
As opposed to the name.
All right. Let's read this here. It's kind of short. I read pretty fast. Let me know when you can't understand me. The statement of Erwin Cleaver is a racist either based on malice or ignorance. Our public officials are once again guilty of one or both. For the truth, one must go to Cleaver himself. In his autobiographical essays, he says, if a man like Malcolm X could change and repudiate racism, if I myself and other former Muslims can change, if young whites can change, then there is hope for America. This is the gentleman they're talking about they don't want up there. It was certainly strange to find myself, while steeped in the doctrine that all whites were devil by natures, commanded by the heart to applaud and acknowledge respect for these young whites, despite the fact that they are descendants of the master and I descendant of the slave. The sins of the father are visited upon the heads of the children, but only if the children continue in the evil deeds of the fathers. That's Soul on Ice, page 83, the book that he wrote. He continually in this book repudiates racism. How many of Cleaver's Malingers took the trouble to find out that Cleaver was among the men most responsible for defining and elaborating the present non-racist and anti-racist platform of the Black Panther Party. Elsewhere in his book, Cleaver says, the initiative and the future rest with those whites and blacks who have lived syndrome. Can this deep truth be any longer questioned? Are the Cleaver attackers resentful because it points them up for the relics of the past that they are? I have, so to speak, washed my hands in the blood of the martyr, Malcolm X, whose retreat from the precise of madness created new room for others to turn about in. I am now caught up in that tiny space, attempting a maneuver of my own. This is page 67. There is a conspiracy on the part of those who fear truth to prevent Cleaver from executing this maneuver. His success in establishing a coalition with those whites with whom he can work for a new day of equality and freedom seemed to threaten the nearsighted defenders of things as they are. But the young people will seek him out, and those who would deprive Cleaver of his limited form at the university will be forcing their young sons and daughters into seeking this contact elsewhere, away from the public eye.
Who was that from?
I worked on... This is who was prepared by?
Yeah.
That's good for me.
Okay. No, I thought you were quoting different ones.
Following thing up, and I'll leave it at, is that our policy of the Black Panther Party is this on racism. That we will not stoop to the level of the Ku Klux Klan to hate a person because of the color of his skin. But we do hate, and what I resent, and what I move on, is oppression, poor housing, inadequate law system. We hate that with a passion. Reverend Oski hates that.
you hate that. Some of you with long hair because you like to wear hair, wear a button. You hate that. I don't detest or hate Lieutenant Davis or Sergeant Guadarrama, but what that's part of that system they are, I detest and hate that vehemently, or whatever the kind of words that you can understand. That's what I hate. And it's not you as individuals, I understand that, but because you're a part of that system, and how to go and change about that system, it lets us quiver or quibble whether to have a citizen review board. That's what I'm talking about. And those avenues that you only leave open for me to move about, you know, they're very, very limited. And I need a chance, I guess, to save the rest of San Diego, because if not, it stays in their minds. That's what they think they are. I conduct a dialogue at the Unitarian Church every Tuesday night, and we take pastors out there. And every Sunday, we try to have 40, 50 brothers in Reverend Oxley Church, but we also have the same problem in our own community to think that the black militants, quote unquote, are a threat to them, which is not a title we give. Why can't I just be an angry young man? And because I'm black, you say a black angry young man, dissatisfied with the system. We, I think, are really too damn easy. We say black is beautiful, but we don't say white is bad. We say we want a school system. We don't say no school. We say we want people in our, to police our community, to live in our community. All we're talking about is some things that are relevant to us today, that we don't get exterminated or take a chance on being another justifiable homicide. And then maybe when the rest of these young people who we have faith in grow up, then we begin to talk about this thing, not integration maybe, but people really living like they should, or we're not going to be talking about police review boards. We probably have that eliminated. But what you propose, some of the things you do, it lets me still take a chance on being statistic. And to that, I have to say this one, Reverend Mossy, I say hell no, no more. And with all of what I said, if it's sunk in some, I need to get that out to a lot more people in San Diego. That's the duty I'm charged with. That's something that's inside of me that I have no control over. And you can bring that about. I called some of the mass media and Natalie Best. I said, how can I say that? How can I let them know that I'm no threat? And then I challenge you to name me one place where Black Panthers that went into a white community and shot any white person. Name me one. And in the case of Huey Newton, we didn't say no trial. We said a fair trial, because there is a difference between self-defense and murder. And then, like, you were aware of what happened at my door, when do I have to take another chance that maybe my roommates won't be there and I could be a statistic? I'm not, you know, how long do I have to wait, or where do I draw the line? It's easy for you to sit there, but these are things that we need to convey. And I thank you for your attention.
Reverend Austin, did you have any specific action you wanted this group to discuss?
Yes, I'm listening. I hear you.
Yeah, well, discuss in terms of the ordinance proposal. Do you want to wait and bring it back and discuss it? Do you want a group to meet with you and Don Keller? How do you want your specific ordinance handled within what we've heard?
What I had in mind that we'll meet 2 weeks from now, and we want to be in the far along on it than we are now. I don't know how you would suggest, Mr. Chairman, that we go about doing it. I know the district attorney has an explanation of what he had in mind when he made this statement. And I think, in all fairness to him, we should have some type of dialogue, not here maybe, but somewhere, so we can actually bring back and get it in its proper context. You know, the news, they will, all fans of the newspaper, they'll put it like they want it, and you can't buy the press to tell them what you had in mind. They put it like they want to put it, and then you can do about it as long as they put an answer to what you're saying. So however we go about it, I don't know. That's the group is,
all right.
I don't know.
Before I get some reactions from around here, district attorney is here, and if you wish at this point to make any reaction, have any reaction or statement,
I think it's best to be very fair. I'm not certain because I know what the direction of Reverend Ogden is at the moment, but I haven't reacted to
it.
Well, I think that whenever you have this committee, whenever it is going to do it, I think a framework within which you could put it, you could ask the question of just how legitimate is it to suggest that the community set up some new form of punishment for somebody who have committed any kind of crime. We have, if somebody committed a felony, we've got courts, and this man is a part of this system. This man has made that suggestion. He's a part of the system. And so if somebody committed a crime, they ought to be charged and brought to court and allowed to defend themselves, and then in that court, whatever punishment is handed out should be handed out. Now, I don't quite understand then how you said that the community ought to set up an additional punishment that will apply to this person after he's been punished for whatever felony he is supposed to have committed. Furthermore, just like in Los Angeles, they got a little trick whereby you can commit a misdemeanor, but they say you conspired to, that's not the word, what is it?
Yes,
you conspired to commit a misdemeanor, and that makes it a felony. And now, you can't teach in the school because you conspired, I guess, to not put a nickel in the parking meter. If you conspire to do it, it could be a felony.
Yeah.
Now, but they can use this whenever they want to define you as a felon. And now it's being suggested to the community put an additional punishment on top of that and say, and furthermore, you can't work for the or whoever it is.
Carol?
Oh,
wait a minute. Did you want to?
Well, in that particular yard, it seems to get the doctor that this was enacted by the Congress of the United States on June 18th and signed by the President.
What was enacted by the Congress? Yeah.
The Omnibus Crime Bill and the Safe Streets Act. This is exactly taken from that.
Well, then why do we need it? We already got it.
Well, this applies to the federal government.
Well,
but the point is why we bring it down from the federal level to a county and city level. This is what we're saying now. Why enact an ordinance here that's not in existence? This is what we're saying now. What is the rationale in it?
Well, let's see if we can keep this clarified. Judges, now I recognize some of the other hands.
Every one of us knows what we're really talking about. All of these specifics are a lot of words that don't mean what they say. Otherwise, we should pass this kind of legislation to cover every other case where a felony has been committed.
You want the 1964 Civil Rights Act.
This is purely and plainly and clearly a bit of racist type legislation. We are seeing the effect of racism set in with an increasing force. It's going to get worse. It isn't getting better. It's getting worse. The reaction which I predicted it would come, and it's coming. Reaction is setting in. And those things that were won, what little they were, are going to be taken away. And you better not lie down and accept it without saying and doing something and taking positions and let it be known. But don't talk about specific legislation as being this, that. It means one thing and one thing only. These things we hear about only when you get involved with a black man,
right,
or a brown man or somebody in the minority community who does something wrong, and we got to rise up and pass new legislation and impose new restrictions because we want to keep them in their damn place.
Yeah. Carol?
Wait a minute.
I believe I'm
finished.
Well, George,
I didn't recognize him.
The specific things that are taking place as it relates to attitude. I admire Kenny for the way he spoke today. I'd be damned if I can come here before you people with racist attitudes, black, no class, or white, and say this the same way. I admire him for doing it. Because I know the hell they catch as young cats. And like he said, the Panther Party in San Diego is growing like leaps and bounds. I've never seen so many black young men in leather jackets last Friday afternoon on the street. But it's growing because whites are pushing him into the Panther Party, not because he's going out campaigning. They're catching hell from the police, and they're getting with a group so they won't catch hell as an individual. They'll catch hell together, and that way they feel they can do something about it when the man moves on. That's why. Last week, our young man went to get a job. I've said this here before this dialogue. I said about the US organization when you were giving him hell at Team Force Number 1.
Now you're giving the teen folks at 47th Street hell because they're associated with the Black Panther Party like the teen folks was the 30th and Imperial, the US organization. I said about the Muslims, the US organization, and now about the Black Panther Party. The best damn thing you've got protecting you in this time, Pickens City, is those three organizations because they're getting cats off the Benny Pills, winos, off the street, and into an organized type situation to be positive instead of negative. And you better go down there and give them some funds to help them instead of trying to knock the hell out of them. Last week, a young man went to the service center to apply for a job. He got an application from Solar. In the application, one of the questions read, are you now, are you have you ever been a member of any, what's the name of the organization? Extremist organization, i.e. Black Panther Party, Hell's Angels. Can you dig it, brother? Right here in this city.
And it's here if you doubt it.
Now check this. If you want to knock off the question, off the application, that's no big thing. But can you knock it out of the minds of the interviews at Solar and those other companies who have the same attitude about persons who are in these parties? You see, you're pushing. Kenny made it very clear. You're making a narrow, very narrow path for the man who's trying to do right to follow. When you said Panther Party, I and E, etc., that means CORE, NAACP, any organization who is trying to actually turn this damn system around for the justice of all people. You're not just talking about the Panther Party, but you use those as a negative. Look, brother, the black man is coming to a point of realization that the white man does not want integration, that the white man does not want to give the black man justice, and as a result, the black man realizes for the first time he's got to get this damn justice or die. Because otherwise you're going to end up in a camp as a slave. And believe me, brother, I've told you here before, I won't be no slave. And I don't plan to die of old age in America. Now check this out. That's no threat, brother. It's just that I don't want to be in no damn concentration camp. You don't either. Now don't call me no damn extremist. No, ultra militant. A new name. Now who in the hell gave Solar or any other company to say who's an extremist organization? The last list put out by the FBI and the federal government in Washington, D.C. was 1950, and the Black Panther Party was not even organized at that time. We've already called the FBI. You cats are making it hard, brother, for a man to do right. All of you who are not racist, you're for supporting a racist system, you're making it damn hard for a man to do right. You're making it damn hard for me not to carry a gun. You make it hard, brother, for these cats not to buy ammunition, not to buy weapons. Because you're getting at the moon on them and you're saying there's something wrong with them because they're carrying guns. Brother, they just don't want to die in the streets without a chance. And you cats are to wise up. You've got to wise up. Because if you don't wise up, brother, we know damn well you got more power in the black community. We know that. We know you got more police with guns than black people have with guns. But also, the black man knows one thing. He will feel much more justified if he takes some of you white, redneck crackers with him.
Mark.
Oh, man.
Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Mr.
Chairman, the last time I talked in public to Mr. Keller, I found myself going into court for child support. I don't know what I'm going for now.
Well, let me say this.
Well, Mr. Keller, I'd like to ask you one question. You stated that here in your statement, you said openly advocates destruction of all American institutions. I like to say that that's not true, but we do openly advocate getting rid of old people like you.
Oh, Mr. Chairman,
wait a minute. If you're going to bring that in,
I'll put him apart.
But wait a minute. I want to clarify something that Charles just said.
Mr. Chairman, yes. I move that we adjourn and that you be empowered to get a committee to work with the district attorney and see if we can sort of clear up some of the things that may be quotes. See, some of it may be quotes from some other documents or something in his report. I move to with Jim.
Now, Mr. Chairman,
hold on.
You're the man.
One thing that Mr. Denton came for this morning, besides appealing to you
and trying to set some statements right. I think he asked this dialogue, because indeed we haven't been able to do it otherwise. I think he asked this dialogue to utilize its power to allow people like him and other community leaders an equal chance to be heard and quoted by the newspapers. The great majority of this community can only believe about Mr. Cleaver what has been written in these newspapers. And to date, we have seen no statements by any of the young people concerned, by any of the black leaders of the community. And indeed, we have called several newspapers, and we have requested an interview. In fact, Mr. Denman prepared this statement and a few others for this purpose, so that he could refute or at least give the other side of the coin to each statement that was made. And he came before you to ask your assistance with the news feeder, that he be given this opportunity, indeed other people in this community, so that at least we can present another side of the coin to the total community.
Joe.
And then we might rely upon their judgment.
Joe, this is probably more important than just the Cleaver thing, though.
Right.
Is that those things concerning the black community are not a threat to whites. Ain't
right.
No anti-white, just pro-black. To make sure that the survivor of the community, and then we'll worry about
right.
Busting any all the rest of stuff.
Right. Again, what we're basically saying is this, that in all the issues that have recently come to the forefront, we've only, through our media, been able to hear one side. So though this points out this particular system, we think it behooves the dialogue to use its influence to help present the other side to some of these points.
I understand the request. I don't think it would require formal action unless somebody gives us a specific one. But I understand the request. I think I understand the motivation behind it. I think I understand all the nuances of the situation in terms of the other side that does not get out. I do not know whether it's required to take any formal action. If someone has some specific ideas, we will entertain them and then we'll adjourn. Is yours a specific idea?
Yes, it is. I would think that since other groups like the State Assembly have taken it upon themselves to make recommendations, for example, to censure the university, that rather than having talk, that you might indicate here whether this group might take any formal type statement or pass a commendation or a resolution or some way indicate their feelings about this to the university. And if you can't pass one that doesn't indicate that you're not racist, then it indicates that this is a pointless.
But he's not talking about the university.
I understand your point, Mr. Good, but before they even could do that, they have to be educated. I wouldn't want them to be meaningless if they don't know what it means besides happy. You know, so I want to do that first, because if they know that, and then understand me, it's like the black or brown curriculum school. If you know about the contributions we made, then I won't have to ask you to make it. You'll do it anyway.
Well, hold up over here. No. Hold up over here. He is not talking about UC. He's not really talking about that. He's asking about some other vehicle by which these issues, UC or what have you, can be on a platform. Specific suggestion idea.
Carol, could we request the media, formally request the media, newspapers and television, to give Mr. Denman an opportunity to express this to the total public. I think this is very important. I make a motion that we do this. I formally call upon all of the news media in this community to give Mr. Denman an opportunity to express the views of the organization and what it stands for.
You mean in terms of public now,
right.
On the media. It's been moved and seconded that this body requests formally the news media to do as Jack said, allow Kenny Denman to present the philosophy, viewpoint, whatever word you use, of the Panther. Any questions on that?
Mr. Chairman, I wouldn't just restrict that to Mr. Denman.
Right. Yeah.
To
Wait a minute. He made the motion.
I suggested that there needed to be a spokesman. I think the group can decide who they wish to.
Then you just change that to the group.
All right. I think the motion is in the wrong context. It talks about having certain people or certain groups state their point of view. What we are interested in here is having points of view, all points of view, have an opportunity to be expressed without saying their point of view. Because these points of view aren't their points of view. These points of view may cut across all lines. It's a matter of understanding. We're running scared because we're afraid of violence, we're afraid of this, we're afraid of that, instead of running toward understanding. And what we need to do, and we'll never have understanding if we shut the door to expressions from all points of view, from everybody who has something to say, whether in advance we agree with it or not. We can't disagree until we hear, and we're not hearing.
I'll second the motion.
Just a moment, please. On the motion. On the motion.
One other thing I'd like to mention is that if and when the media does agree to have the groups or persons become and speak, we would request that they do not edit the program or the writing so that to distort the fact, that they just put the bare facts and the truth as it's stated.
Talking to the motion? Question?
Couple of questions, Chairman.
All in favor of the motion as stated and accepted there in terms of eliminating one word as now accepted. All in favor of that motion? What is this for?
I would like to put
Wait a minute.
He said as an amendment that it be.
Hold it. Too late for that.
You can bring an amendment. I think
he's right,
Jerry. The question has been called for. The only thing I can allow is a clarification on that. But all in there for clarification. All in favor of the motion.
Mr. Chairman, the parliamentary procedure and unreadiness can be said in the form of an amendment or whatever it is, and I think he's entitled to say
The question has been called for. The vote, in other words, has been called for.
The question is,
he can make another motion after this is over.
The question has been called for, which is a vote. All in favor of the motion as stated, let it be known by the word aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Now you may wish.
I would like to amend the motion so that it be unedited, except for, unedited.
It would have to be made by one of the official dialogues.
So moved.
If he puts it in words.
So moved.
Would you state it again?
Unedited.
And if you ask him to do that, he supposed he would want to do it, and the editor says no. So I would rather do it to reality. Let's just try to get what we can on it. I understand. Same with yours, but this, I'm still a man, we deal with reality.
We're joined with you here, and joined with you here, too.